Hi, I'm Bruce McCullough. I'd like to tell you about the Daves I know.
These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. David Hoffner, he works in my dad's store. He's worked here for 12 years, he'll probably work here for more. These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. Dave Gord, I've known since I was 6. In grade 8, he broke his leg, so we got drunk and sick. These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know, I know. These are the Daves I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from a different mom.
It's Sunday, November 30th, 2014, and this is Arrogant Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I am Ted. And I hope that you had as good a holiday weekend as Eric and I did.
Well, I had a fantastic Thanksgiving. How about yourself?
I couldn't have been better. Friends, yeah. Family, the
good,
whole nine.
Yeah, good turkey, good eats.
Yeah, good eats across the board. Got to spend a lot of time with everybody. Everything went really well. What about you, man?
Last time we talked,
everything seemed great.
Yeah, no. Couldn't complain too much, you know. I had a nice meal with the family. And,
okay.
And it was a heck of driving up there, though, man, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's where you left in the weather, right?
Yeah, a lot of ice on the roads, but I made it there in one piece.
Aye, to be sure.
But I got to tell you, one particular stop in my adventure that was the Thanksgiving weekend was a little disappointing.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. You went and spent the time with your mom.
Yeah, no, that was fine.
Yeah, when we talked, everything seemed great.
No, she lives up near Springfield.
Mass, yeah.
And they have the Basketball Hall of Fame on there. What was that?
I have no idea.
What was that? Okay, anyway, so we go to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
What?
I tell you, this
I don't
check
know.
The malfunction.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something's
going on.
What's the matter with this?
Now, when I go into a place like that, no, I haven't been to Cooperstown. I haven't been to Canton.
You know, I took the
I haven't been to Toronto.
I've had friends who went.
Right. I'm going to go to Cooperstown next year, so that'll be fun. But leaving there.
Where?
Leaving the Basketball Hall of Fame. I had the feeling that if they had given me, say, $5,000.
Okay.
I could have made the experience vastly more enriching. Now, it's pretty sad when you could say, if you give someone small money, they could just go and make some improvements.
Hold on.
More worth your time and money.
Before you go any further, can you give me some ironclad specific
things?
Now,
what's the most common form of technology, in wizardry that we have? It's the touchscreen.
Sure.
It's been perfected.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say 95% of every touch screen there, it's awful. It either didn't work, didn't do what it was supposed to do. It made the sullied the experience.
So the touch screens were basically put in there by the people who make voting booths.
Yeah, apparently, a lot of hanging chads and everything. But no, seriously, I'm hitting the damn thing. The thing won't work. Okay. Now, these are supposed to be interactive. That's the best part of it.
Were they in disrepair from ham-fisted douchebags smacking away at it?
Not visually. It looked like it was working, it should work properly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing. So that immediately soured the experience because I couldn't, fully, get all the information.
It wasn't an immersive experience.
It wasn't. They tried, but again, like I said, they give me $5,000. I can get all those things working with proper, 2013 technology. Going a year old.
I got that.
But
you're joining us late, Eric is talking about his experience
at the Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, there's something going on here. And there was another one. There was a booth I went to where you could duplicate a famous basketball call. Now, of course, I picked Johnny Most.
No.
Havlicek. Havlicek stole the ball.
So
you can listen to it, and then you can record your own, and it has the words down at the bottom, so it's not like you're lost. You're redoing it.
You didn't do Marv Albert biting a prostitute
yes! No, they didn't include that. They didn't include that in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
And there's the $5,000 that you want.
Yeah,
there's the $5,000.
In the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I do my best Johnny Most impression. I'm really getting into it now.
Okay.
You know, and now you're pretty open. There's a bunch of people around. I didn't care. So I'm really belting it out. And then I go to, you know, hit the playback. You can barely hear me. Now, when have you
barely hear me?
Now, have you ever, once said, Eric, I can't hear you?
Not only that, I've actually said the polar opposite. Eric, shut the hell up.
Yeah, more. So I'm listening to the playback, and I mean, I was hoping maybe this could even be something that I could save and download.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even email it to yourself.
It makes sense, right? It makes sense. First of all, that option wasn't there.
Okay.
Which, again, for very small money, you could make that available, and, sure. And that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I could barely make myself audible.
Okay.
So that was disappointing.
So far, this doesn't seem necessarily out of bounds of reality. The touchscreens need to be upgraded. The audio needs to be upgraded and the enhanced.
Why should I have to point that out?
Well, maybe you're not the only one, and who knows?
That's what I'm saying.
The Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Might. Oh, God damn it with that.
I swear.
All right. So then they may be.
Yeah.
Okay. So
continue. Well, the next booth over was now you could. Make a, you know, pretend you're a sports center, you know, guy.
Anchor.
So well, I was thinking.
You call it anchor.
Oh, anchor, sure, yeah. sure. So I'm like, well, this is right up my alley, right? You know, I'm going to sit down, green screen, you know, go at it and, you know, have some fun. And maybe, you know, again, because it gets recorded, maybe leave with it.
Sure.
Well, I let this little kid go in front of me and he did it. And
did he pee on the
funny.
Seat?
No, but he kept saying, your name here. Yeah, it was really quite comical. He kept saying
your name here.
Yeah,
and welcome to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Shit with that.
So then the kid does it, and he's about to walk away. He's like, no, wait, watch the playback. I'm like, all right. Now, they actually had him talk about, like, a play that Harden did and Kevin Garnett. So
right.
I'm thinking they're going to put this to you know,
a video
visual.
Clip.
Yeah, a video clip.
Yeah.
So we're all looking up there and watching, waiting for it to come. And the video clip literally was exactly what I saw. Him sitting behind
a
desk with a weird-looking speaker on it, no ESPN logo or anything, and him just saying everything that we just saw him say.
Did they at least enhance it, the green screen on it? Or?
No.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
Really?
It was. I was like, okay, so I didn't even do it. I'm like, that's awful.
Okay.
Even Tom was like, yeah, I don't know what the point of that was. So we move on. Now, again, this is all little stuff. That's what I'm saying. For such small money, you can make this experience that much better for the people going there. But that really wasn't the most disappointing part. And
all right, well, go ahead.
You look like you're
trying to hold back a little on this.
Yeah, you know,
I need you to open up a little for me.
Well, I don't want to come off as that guy.
Well, you are.
But I'm going to.
You're sort of that guy anyway by nature.
I am going to come across that guy as that guy. I was looking at the inductees as their picture, you know, a little explanation about their career.
Okay.
And I'm going through it, and I see Gary Payton, the glove.
Mm.
You
know
what I mean? Legend.
Smooth.
You know what I mean?
The man
modern
smooth.
Day, yeah. Modern day basketball,
mm-hmm.
But definitely deserves to be there.
Sure.
And right next to him was a picture of Cheryl Swoopes.
Was she honoring him during a game? That was
no,
the picture
no,
was?
As an inductee, right there next to him. Now, I know that this is not the NBA Hall of Fame. This is the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You see now?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, so therefore that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to incorporate these female athletes, collegiate and WNBA, in with the other Hall of Famers.
So is it conceivable that somewhere along the way I'm going to see a picture of MJ, and next to him is going to be somebody from
actually
Tennessee?
A cardboard cutout of Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, not
that's not an exaggeration.
No,
a big plexiglass version of, you know, plexiglass with Jordan's image imprinted on it. You know, dribbling a basketball,
sure,
or whatever.
Sure.
And then no less than 5 feet away. A cardboard cutout of Diana Taurasi.
Why?
That's what I said.
Now, how big's the building? And is it...
The building is... Well, it's spherical in nature.
Okay. You didn't even have to put the
So you go up to the third floor.
Wait,
and
it's spherical.
And, exactly. So you go up to the
you
middle...
You mean cylindrical?
No, it's spherical. It is a basketball.
It's a ball.
It's like Epcot.
Really?
Yes.
That's well said.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, good.
So you walk around, so you do a complete circle on the third floor, which mm-hmm. then you take the stairs down to the second floor, which then does the same thing and so on. There's only three levels to it.
Seems small.
I just had the problem with putting these female basketball athletes in the Basketball Hall of Fame near people like Oscar Robinson and Will Chamberlain and
Bob Cousy.
Bob Cousy and Havlicek and Bird and Worthy and all those other guys.
Manuel Man.
And all the contributors, the people that contributed to the game of basketball in the last 100-plus years.
Naismith!
That's what I'm saying. He was the very last one. He's the first one, actually. But it was last, by the way, we were going.
Okay.
Very first one. And I got some great pictures up on Facebook.
At facebook.com/ericandted.
So check that out, guys, because it was really some pretty cool things over there. So it was really the history of the game. Now, I don't have so much a problem with the presence of these women college athletes and WNBA athletes. They were the best of their crop. I understand that. But to put them side by side, again, with the likes of, even an Alonzo Mourning, it just doesn't make sense to me. They should have a separate area. If it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, then you could put them in a separate wing, a separate room, a separate level, anything.
Yeah.
A little alcove, if you will.
Well, they
you know
don't
what I mean?
Need a little. Yeah, okay, I get
sure,
what you
because
saying.
A lot of it was in that. It was like, an inset room and,
okay.
and, in the circle, and then you would go and check it out, and then you would move on to the next one. So if they did that, I could understand it. You go to the area, you look at all these.
Well, sort of like a League of Their Own has their own little
right,
room
exactly.
of their own.
And I can't wait to see that.
In Cooperstown.
When I go to Cooperstown next August with Ahmed from the Puerto Rican Minute and his yep. great family, I'm looking forward to that part of it.
Sure.
Because it is a part of the game of baseball. But, again, I don't
it's
need
part.
To see Diana Taurasi 5 feet from his heirness, Michael Jordan.
At the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So that was my problem with it. Now I did get to shoot baskets down below, and I saw one 40-year-old man trying to beat a 6-year-old in a free throw contest.
And I take it the 6-year-old
just schooled him. The 6-year-old won. He kept stepping over the line, though, every time he took the free throw, but his form was flawless, and it was switched, all three.
Really?
The guy actually tried to tell he was over the line.
No.
I'm up on the, I swear, me and
no.
Tom are up on the
no.
second floor, leaning over the railing, and he hits his third one, and he tells the guy, he's like, hey, he keeps stepping over the line. I go, boo! Boo! Guys look up there. Everybody starts laughing. They give the kid like a stuffed ball, a stuffed NBA ball from the Basketball Hall of Fame. But it was just funny that a 4-year-old man was actually going to dispute the validity of whether or not that those counted for the 6-year-old boy who outshot him.
That's hilarious.
Oh,
so your experience can be summed up with the fact that the female basketball players, the WNBA and
college,
they don't have the balls to be sitting
to be
next,
sitting
to, Michael
next to the ones that do
in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, don't forget to hit Eric and I up on Twitter at EricandTedICS.
Or our website, EricandTed.com.
Or Facebook.com/EricandTed.
And search us on iTunes, Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. We'll be right back.
I know Dave Jadisky. Man, this cat can swing. He weighs almost 50 pounds and he delivers my paper on time. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Dave Capisano, I hardly know him. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know.
And I'm glad you stuck around for a little bit of the Kids in the Hall. These are the Daves I know, I know. It's one of the great Kids in the Hall sketches of all time.
Yeah, yes.
Without a doubt.
This absolutely. Is
welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ted. And the Red Sox made some waves this week just before the holiday. Talk to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, a little bit. They signed Hanley Ramirez.
Oh, former Red Sox
yes.
prospect,
yes,
Hanley Ramirez.
Absolutely. We got rid of him in the Beckett Lowell deal.
Which turned out pretty well.
Yeah, no, they didn't want to do it. But mm-hmm. it had to be done.
Yep.
Everybody knew it. Nobody wanted to see Hanley go. But we did it to get those two players.
And to make sure that we took
a World Series.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got a World Series out of it. I honestly
and
thought
Mike Lowell
we
became a legend for
of
it.
Of course, so. Yeah. The throw in, yeah. Mm, the throw in Mike Lowell, sure.
Yeah.
But what a lot of people expected, including Red Sox brass, was that we mm-hmm. were going to get him back a little bit earlier than what we just did.
Yeah.
Before he went over to
Miami.
Was it Miami? No, Texas. Was it Texas?
No, Miami. He was at Miami Marlins.
And then he went to Dodgers.
I'm sorry.
So
yes,
that's when we thought we were going to get him.
Okay.
Was during that,
back in that
during that
deal.
Time. It was 2-3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
about 3 years ago. So that didn't happen, but now we finally got him back 11 years later, 10 years later.
He's not a good locker room guy from all indications.
8 years. But
you know, not a good locker room guy.
From Miami?
Hearing this from basically the Buster Olney's sort of like baseball insiders say that he's not really a good locker room guy. There are enough character on this team to make sure that we don't have a replay of the of Francona's last year?
Absolutely. No. I think you got enough veteran and established leadership on that team that
I only have one fear from this deal.
They wouldn't allow that to happen.
I have one that that's my only fear of this deal, that Sandoval comes here, that Hanley Ramirez.
We didn't even talk about him yet.
Pablo Sandoval. Yes. Kung Fu Panda is coming to Boston.
Yes.
Bury your turkey in the back of the fridge and hide your wives. I don't know. Pablo Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez on their way here. I have that fear that we might be in that Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez.
Because they didn't give Hanley, Carl Crawford money.
Mm.
So, again, and I've told you, money for me doesn't come too much into the arguments I put out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox have plenty of it.
Yeah.
I'm more of a years guy, because if they want to spend their millions upon millions of dollars, go ahead.
It's not even money and the years kind of go hand in hand in this. If you don't care about money, they don't particularly seem to care about years on this thing. They signed these guys out until they're their playing.
Were they 5 or 6 year deals?
5 or 6 year deals on both of them. They've committed about $190 million to those two players.
Which a lot
alone.
Of people say that takes them out of the John Lester sweepstakes.
No, I think that I don't think that has anything
not.
To do with
no,
it.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
The two are not related.
No, and if they're going to offer Lester money to come back, they're just going to.
Well, apparently the offer they gave him was aggressive. This hasn't been, officially detailed, the numbers. There's rumors out there. But apparently it was very aggressive and competitive.
And unlike in the past, John Lester nor the Red Sox basically shot their way out of town on this one.
No.
This was not nobody left with any acrimony. No. Nobody left with any ill feelings.
You don't see this too often. And we actually started getting sick of it. All the back and forth of, this is where I want to be. Well, this is where we want you to be. You don't normally see that up until the point that John Lester was shipped out of town. And even after the fact, he said that he wanted to be a Red Sox. He wanted to have a chance to come back here next year as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You rarely, rarely hear that. And the Red Sox showed interest in obviously doing the same. And it seems like they were both being quite sincere, because
mm-hmm.
it looks like that this deal might go through, I'd say, within the next couple of weeks.
Well, certainly before Christmas, as we know that's the prime time for signings, because that's when, of course, we were all kicked in the collective nuts with the Mark Teixeira deal a number of years back. How's that working out for him?
Yeah, absolutely.
How's that working out for them?
I'm telling you, every almost.
Yep. It seems to have worked out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Except
even
for that.
Pitchers,
except for Daisuke. We probably
well, we got him.
I know,
yeah,
we should have lost
that
sweepstakes. Yeah, we should have lost that
sweepstakes. He was entertaining for a little bit. Saw some pitches that we hadn't seen before. And
yeah, what did they the fable?
Was it the
gyro ball?
The gyro
not
ball.
The Eros
no,
ball.
Not the Ephus.
It wasn't. No, I thought you were going to go with the Greek delicacy, Eros.
Eros.
I got an Eros.
It's a gyro.
It's a gyro.
It's a gyro. But I think with these acquisitions, now we know that Sandoval's going to be at third base.
Yes.
My concern with him, now he's a very good, he's a very good third baseman. We wouldn't want him to play anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to do his job at third base. Now we got a real, real strong corner infield there, obviously with power.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily hit for average, but if he's hitting in the high 280s, we're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
When I think he ended up with 84 RBIs, and obviously we know how money he is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So But the defense that he brings to third base is going to be very valuable. Now, show me. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When have you ever seen a superstar athlete that is overweight that gets his biggest and final payday and then loses weight?
Never.
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 We have Prince Fielder.
That's my concern. That's my concern. He got his payday.
Ryan Howard.
Where's the incentive to lose weight?
There's not.
He's been struggling with this for his career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, he's at where he's at. My concern is that he gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't sign him saying, I hope you lose weight. We're signing him saying, please don't gain it.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't gain weight. Because, you know, again, you get your payday. You're not battling for the next contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy and to let yourself go a little bit.
And this is where I kind of go back to the uh-oh kind of feeling. Like, this isn't just the general Red Sox fan waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of stuff either. But this is a guy who's never really taken care of himself. Now he gets his big payday, and he's National League coming over into the American League. This is also a concern for me.
Yes.
When has that been hugely successful? Anytime I see National League guys come over here, Albert Pujols,
but they've all settled in.
They have. They've settled in, but have they reached the meteoric heights that they were when they were in the National League?
But see, my opinion, they were already at their height at that point.
Okay, so now we're on the downside of their career.
We're on the downside, and we're hoping that the downside of these superstars is better than the upside of your average guy.
Well, so is Pablo Sandoval worth $90 million plus and on the downside of his career?
I think he's just young enough and just fat enough for it to work.
All right, next problem on this deal. Just fat enough for this to work. That's going to be a new clip for our soundboard. He's just fat enough for this to work.
Just might work.
Now, next problem with this signing, with this setup.
That we got another much needed outfielder?
The Red Sox outfielders are looking like a goddamn clown car right now.
Oh my God, it looks like 93 at like 7:30 in the morning.
Right. So I'm having a little bit of trouble here reconciling what the Red Sox outfield,
other than
a clown car. It's like there's just going to be idiots falling out all over the place.
Our left fielder is Hanley Ramirez. So he's our left fielder.
Okay, so Hanley.
In right field, we got Shane Victorino,
the Flying Hawaiian, who I still have a lot of faith in as a ball player.
And he's fully expecting to take his spot in right field, and so is the Red Sox brass.
Okay.
So that's it. He's our right fielder for the 2015 season.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
There's no argument. So,
okay.
You know, there's no point in, you know, when you hear it on the sports radio, well, what if we didn't? No, there is no what if. He is our right fielder, so let's accept that and move on.
Okay.
Hanley Ramirez, they just signed, just paid. He is our left fielder. Let's move on.
Do we keep Jackie Bradley in center field, or do we move on from him?
That's a question. There's lots of questions here. Do we have the have we added enough bats to be able to bury Jackie Bradley's? But clearly, all right, so he's having a huge, huge problem with his bat. But have we gained enough bats to be able to bury him in the nine hole and take this otherworldly defense, this top flight center field defenseman,
this arm that can throw the ball from home over the triangle wall,
and his speed. And bottom line, and you know, we're not the only ones. This isn't a homer attitude. You have professional analysts and commentators last year who have said Jackie Bradley is the best defensive fielder, the center fielder that they see out there right now. Period.
But, we went through this a few years ago with Coco Crisp when he was playing center field, and he was batting, like, a paltry, like, 198 for, like, the entire first half of the season. But
he turned it around with some timing.
But he had prevented. Exactly. And I forgot what the statistic was specifically, but he prevented, like, something like 1.3 runs per game with his defense.
Yep.
I see Jackie Bradley kind of falling into that same thing, but you don't want an automatic out.
Well, except Coco's got a better bat than Bradley.
At the time, Coco wasn't hitting. That was the point.
No,
but
he wasn't.
But what about Mookie?
See, every question in this outfield leads to another question.
All right, then
you got Mookie Betts.
Then let me ask you one question that's the most important question of this. Do you have the Red Sox outfield roster in front of you by any chance?
I have a long list of outfielders.
Why don't you throw out those names for me?
Okay. So we have Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous young talent.
Unbelievable.
Do we stifle that talent?
Does he come to Pawtucket for
a while? That's what I'm saying. And in doing so, does he die there?
No.
At a certain point, you got to progress or else you're not going to be moving forward. He's, I don't think he has much else to learn. I don't think he can spend a full season down in AAA without stifling his growth.
Go through the list.
All right. You got Hanley. He's our left fielder. We've already said that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget this guy. We signed him for a 7-year contract, fresh off the boat. Mm-hmm. Nope. Rusny Castillo.
Yep.
What do we do with him? We just signed this Cuban to a 7-year deal.
I can't believe you just said fresh off the boat.
Well, that's really what it was.
No, it wasn't. It was a 57 Chevy with pontoon safety on the side.
No, so seriously, though.
Yeah.
So you have this guy that you got to find a spot for. Now, him, I think we can put off for a year because he needs development in the game.
In the American game.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So you can put him down in AAA or have him see some action in Portland, wherever you want to put him. But we can get away with hiding him for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Cespedes.
Oh, Cespedes?
Cespedes, yeah. Sorry. Cespedes.
No, no problem. That we acquired in the John Lester deal.
And this is going to be the ultimate, you know, laugh is that when we re-sign John Lester, we'll
have both of them.
Have Cespedes, who was a good bat, who's got a great arm, except he doesn't hit for average, and he sucks in the field.
Hey, Brad Pitt, I got an offer for you. We're going to do a sequel to Moneyball. It's going to be called Billy Beane Gets Porked.
And he did, because obviously John Lester did not do what they needed him to do. But then again, they collapsed on themselves anyway. You can't put that all on Lester, what happened.
No, he only gets to play once every five games. So.
But you got Cespedes. Uh-huh. Well, again, so he at the plate, he can hit for power. He can
I'd
hit
love
the
to
long
see
ball,
hit
but he can't hit for average. And then you put him in the outfield, can throw at anybody, but he can't track the ball. So he's got no room in this outfield.
Okay.
He's trade bait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are going to trade Cespedes.
Okay.
Hopefully we can get a pitcher in return. But if we don't get a deal done now, we are forced to put him in center field at the start of the year. Because you have to showcase him in order to get a trade by the trading deadline.
Keep going down the list now.
Okay, yeah. Now we got Victorino, who we already said, get over it. He's our right fielder.
I like him.
I like Victorino, too. But mm-hmm. he's getting on an age. He's coming off an injury. He's last year. It is what it is.
Next guy on the list?
Jackie Bradley, the guy we're asking about. Can we bury him, you know, in the nine hole, almost an automatic out, you know, once every rotation through, but his defense is incredible.
Or do you use him later in the games as a defensive replacement in games that you're ahead?
Right, but is, again, with a guy with this type of defensive capability, can you just keep him on as a bench guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's not making a ton of money, but at some point, he's got to get his chance somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We know that we have to worry about the Red Sox, but we also just can't screw over the young careers of some of these kids.
And speaking of young careers, we have next on our list?
We have Brock Holt.
Dude.
The saving grace of last season, if there was one.
If you played him anywhere and everywhere and didn't chase Brock Holt, like as he started hitting, you were a dickhead.
Exactly.
Brock Holt is the future of this team.
But where do you put him? He's so good in the outfield.
Hey, you know he can play third base.
He can play everything.
Oh, wait, they have a third baseman.
Yes, they do.
Mm.
And we have a first baseman.
And if he could put Brock Holt in a bun and eat him, it's killing me. So, all right.
So the bottom line, we don't know what we're going to do with Brock Holt, but he's a tremendous talent. He's good at the plate, and he can play any position.
Okay.
Good luck.
Hey, Brock, can you pitch?
Good luck, Farrell, figuring out where you're going to put him.
All right, next on the list.
Then you got Alan Craig.
Bam, again.
Who we traded for. This guy's an all-star.
All-star.
Outfielder. Alan Craig. Where do we put him?
Can't put him anywhere. Okay. Do we have anybody else on the list?
Daniel Nava.
Daniel Nava. Oh.
I think he gets cut or traded.
Listen,
what
we've
else are we going to do? And by the way, we haven't even touched on Middlebrooks, who we know is not going to be here. I haven't even brought him up because I know he's not going to be here.
Listen, one of the things that we talk about is, like, remember a few years ago we had what we thought was five bona fide starters going into the beginning of the season.
And we ended up with half.
Well, you and I talked about at the time, there was like an embarrassment of riches was the thing that we kept saying. Like, oh my God, like it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yep.
This is just embarrassing.
Yes.
They've signed all of these people. What the hell is John Henry... What if, you know, what is Harrington and the trio thinking about putting this team together? They have a virtual all-star team sitting right here, and you can only play nine guys a game.
Four of the guys, if you count Castillo, are homegrown.
All right.
And I say count Castillo because they did sign him to put him there.
They signed him to put him
in their minor leagues. So four of those guys are homegrown: Mookie Betts, Castillo, Bradley, Daniel Nava.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had them. You know what I mean? Well, we did have to go out and get Castillo, but again, he's a future talent.
Yeah.
And they're not looking to dump him. So they're going to find a place to hide him, and so they can figure out what his role is going to be with the team going forward the year after, and so on.
Okay.
But you got Jackie Bradley, came up through the system. He's done there.
So now
he's done in Pawtucket. There's nothing much you can do. If he's not going to hit, he's not going to hit.
Well, he's going to run out of options.
Yes, he
all
is.
Right. Well, and when we talk about options, what Eric and I are talking about right now is there's only a finite amount of times that a major league club can send a guy down to Triple X.
What is it, after your fifth one? It's
then you can ask for, basically you can demand a trade.
After your fifth one, if they try to send you down, you actually go to you got to clear waivers.
Yeah. To go down. Correct. And Jackie Bradley wouldn't clear.
No, of course not. Someone will snap him right up. Small money.
Now, at the end of last season, and I think I want to leave the subject on this one. At the end of last season, John Henry said, we're going to grow our talent through the minor leagues. That's where you see Mookie. That's where you see Brock Holt. That's where you see Jackie Bradley Jr. And we're not interested in acting like the Yankees and signing big price contracts. And then all of a sudden, a scant 5 months later, he's signing the biggest contracts in baseball and having this farm
system. But you can't even really fault him for it, because one, first of all, we had a need at a third base.
Yeah.
We needed a power, good defensive third baseman.
Oh, I don't disagree. But do we need 13 guys in the outfield banking
up a time?
That's
the thing. But again, it seems like they're trying to get all these bats together, but they already got this bat now. They got this bat at third base. So you got a big bat, big glove, big arm at third base. Great. I like the signing. Again, my only caution is what you see every time a big man gets signed.
All right, the last thing I'm going to ask you here. Give me the Red Sox opening day lineup. We got to figure Brock Holt leading off.
Kenya?
Where is he playing?
Where is he playing?
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know where he's playing. No, he's not playing shortstop. Bogarts is our shortstop.
Oh, there's another name. So yeah. Xander Bogarts is
our
leadoff.
He's our shortstop.
Great. He's our shortstop.
Yep. He's our leadoff hitter.
Then we have Petey.
Yep. Then you got Petey.
And then you got Poppy.
Then you got Poppy. Then you got
Hanley. And then
Sandoval, Hanley.
Sure, that's five.
Hanley, Sandoval.
Yeah, four and five.
Yep.
And then
you got first baseman.
Napoli?
Yep, Mike Napoli.
Yeah.
Victorino.
Look at this lineup.
Cespedes probably before Napoli.
If Cespedes is on the team.
That's the thing. If Cespedes is on the team, he is our center fielder.
Oh, God. Well, and with that, Eric and I are going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we don't have enough time in a month's worth of podcasts to sort this out.
But I definitely want to get back to this at a later date. So don't forget to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And if you hit us up on iTunes, search Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social. And we'll be right back with Thanksgiving Day football games, our picks for this coming Sunday.
And just a couple of other NFL topics. And let's just hope that the Red Sox aren't on the highway to hell.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
I'm Eric.
And he's adjusting his headphones, and I'm Ted. And now we've talked about the Red Sox, and we know that we're not going to solve this issue. I can't wait to see how that thing turns out. But some big news in the NFL this week, Eric.
Yes. Big, big, big news.
Ray Rice gets reinstated, and I don't care.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Where's he going to go?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. It's over.
That's it.
Ray Rice.
That's it. He's not good enough for the headache.
Ray Rice.
Because if he was, he never would have been cut by the Ravens.
And society has taken you into an elevator on a drunken night, and we have roundhoused you.
Yeah. And you know, she's still sticking up for him.
It wasn't his fault. It was her fault.
I should have never put my hands on him.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
Okay.
Now, right. Eric.
That's good. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your husband.
Janae, you got to. Well, in like 4 years, we're going to find out that there was a pattern of abuse, and she left. And
we've already talked about that. Like, he's acted like he'd been there before.
Yeah. And so
after the hook, and he just looks at him like, "Yeah, you've done this."
And I now have a confession to make. Also, when Eric and I take the elevator downstairs from the Palatial Studio 7 here in Providence, Rhode Island, he slaps me around a little.
Well, I need to keep you in line. But so I think we're both in agreement.
It's not a word.
It's a word when
it's
I use it.
It's not a word.
So we're both in agreement that he goes nowhere. It's not a big deal.
Who cares?
Next year, somebody picks him up for low money.
And kind of whistles past the graveyard. Yeah. And then they catch some crap.
Like the Jets.
And he gets cut. And whatever.
He'll be a backup somewhere.
Yeah, and hopefully the stadium.
As Ahmed from the Puerto Rican Minute can attest, Ray Rice's talents have been dwindling for quite some time.
Oh, did he have him on his fantasy team?
He couldn't not pick him up. He couldn't not pick him up. The only year that he didn't pick him up was this year, and ironic enough, his wife did.
Oh, my God. So Ray Rice just lives in that house.
Family, yep.
Oh, my God. There is a pattern of abuse.
There is.
Ray Rice has been abusing. Ray Rice has been abusing Ahmed and his family.
It is.
What is up with this?
At least 5 years.
This is terrible.
At least 5 years.
This is terrible.
Now, the second, who cares, but again, saw it coming.
Yep. Let's switch topics to.
To what, another act of violence?
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson, done for the year.
Yeah, it's done for the year. But now, see, here's a guy whose talents weren't necessarily eroding. They may have been plateauing. But this guy was a 2,000 yard rusher.
Yeah.
Does he get a job next year?
Of course he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll be with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep. And there you go.
That's the end of that.
And yet, no matter what you want to say, that's over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the NFL is the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
And so talking about...
But aside from that...
There's the beatings continued over the holiday weekend.
Yes, the Eagles putting the smackdown on the Cowboys.
The Eagles took the Cowboys for an elevator ride.
The Seahawks smacking up the 49ers.
That was brutal.
And just Chicago looking awful.
Hey, did you catch the Vine that Seattle put out of them on the plane?
No, I didn't. I saw something on Facebook. I didn't click on it.
Yeah, it's all the Seahawks on the plane on the way back.
They were apparently trolling.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, Felicia. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That's really good.
Yeah, I mean, can we safely say that the San Francisco 49ers season is over? Can we say that now?
Well,
I think... Can we say that the hype around Kaepernick was probably a little too much?
I think the hype around that style of like read option quarterback is pretty much over. I think that you're starting to see that all start to fade away
But the thing is he's got a nice pass. He's got a strong arm. I don't think he has a head to be a quarterback.
Well, did you hear what Richard Sherman said about why did Kaepernick keep throwing the ball at you?
Because he is stubborn and he's pig-headed.
No, well, Richard Sherman apparently decided that the only reason why is because Richard Sherman was the only guy who was open. That's what he said in his post-game press conference. They were like,
really?
Richard, why did Kaepernick keep throwing at you? And he goes, well, I think it's because I was the only guy who was open.
That is awesome. That is awesome. But no, and that's what – it says to the his mindset, the mindset of a quarterback can't be that way. Just like last year, he decided to throw at Sherman for the winning touchdown. Why?
And
because he wanted to prove
and
something.
And go back and watch that play. There is a guy open.
Of course there is.
At the goal line. Yeah. Nobody within 5 yards.
And he would have fallen back. He would have fallen back into the end zone. Touchdown.
They win the game.
But he can't.
He has
pride.
To throw it.
Yes, he has to throw it to Sherman.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened. And then he did it again because they talk a lot of crap. So he keeps throwing at him on Thanksgiving. And what does he do? Two picks.
Ugh, yeah. God.
Yeah. So 49ers are done.
Yep.
Seahawks are going to get one of the wild card spots in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they, well, aside from if Arizona completely collapses on itself, which doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Even with the backup quarterback.
Yeah, even with the backup quarterback, obviously they've gotten their system down to a point that they can win with their backup.
And talk to me about the Cowboys here this week.
Well, why don't you talk to me about the Cowboys? Because what I saw was not a 8-3 team. Well, now 8-4, but anyway, 8-3 going into that game.
No, you know what you saw. What did I tell you? What did I tell you when they were 8-2? I told you they
weren't going to win another game.
I told you that 8-8 teams still need to win 8 games.
Yeah,
this is you're looking at an 8-8 team, 9-7.
I disagree, though.
Maybe 10-6.
I think there's more talent there.
No. Up. Say that word one more time.
Talent.
There's tons of talent.
So what's the problem?
Should we start with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones in the
tight end? Well, we know that Jones is a problem.
Can we go down to Garrett on the sidelines? Can we go down to the play calling? Can we go down to the play calling on defense? Can we go down to the total dearth of talent on the defensive side that we spoke this week? Can we go to the fact that you have a broken back at quarterback? Can you go to the fact that Kyle Orton isn't there anymore?
He can,
but guess what day he usually takes off from practice?
Thursday.
What day did he play against the Eagles and get shellacked?
Thursday.
Boom. Now he gets a week off, and then he gets to go and play another game, and what? Maybe they win, and they get 9 wins. This is a team who's going to be on the outside looking in. Philadelphia already in the driving seat. They still have to play the Eagles one more time, and in Philly, never going to happen. Great, DeMarco Murray is healthy right now, but that's dubious at best because we know that he's one hit. He's got four more games.
How many of those four do they win? Do they go 2-2 in their last four games to be a 10-6 team?
No. I got them at 9-7,
yeah,
just like I had them in August, 9-7.
So 9-7, that's not even going to get you in the playoffs.
Not this year, it's not. In spite of the fact, though, that in the NFC South, you could have a 5-11 team make the playoffs, which is bullshit. But
I really am rooting
for
them to continue to suck so we're a sub-500 team. Wins the division.
And I want like a team that's 2 or 3 games under 500.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want a team that's like 7-9.
We had an 8-8 team get in. We had a 7-9 team get in.
I want to see a 5-11 team make
it. I want to see a 6-10.
Yeah.
I want to see a 6-10.
Now, speaking of another beating, Detroit laid the smackdown on the most talented team in the NFL.
Well, we've been talking about the Bears for a while.
Mm-hmm.
With that loss, they are 5-7. Again, with one of the most talented receiving corps, including at the tight end position.
Yep.
A all-around back in Forte who's still got tread on his tires.
When we were talking earlier, and we were talking to Ahmed from the Puerto Rican Minute, and we were kind of trying to come up with guys who you want on your team before Forte, we might have come up with 3.
Yeah, I think we had 4 or 5. But
so we're talking about one of the best backs in the NFL, one of the best receiving corps in the
definitely
NFL.
Definitely on his tail end of his career, but... He's still got tread.
He's still valuable.
Yep. He's still producing. So how?
Trestman?
How are they 5-7?
Trestman? I don't even think it's Cutler that much.
Well, I can't put all the blame on Cutler. Cutler does what Cutler has always done.
Yeah, Cutler,
so flashes of brilliance and a bunch of bonehead plays. But with the talent, that should be all right. That should be good enough to win 10-11 games.
Should be.
So do we see a new coach in Chicago?
Oh, no doubt. You might see a new coach before the end of the year. Because Chicago's one of those cities that, even though their team routinely sucks, and yes, granted, they had the 85 Bears, but that should have been a 10-year dynasty, that team. The 85 Bears should have been, a 5-year dynasty. They should have been to 3 or 4 Super Bowls over the course of 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
We know that. How on earth does that team end up sucking like that? You had Walter Payton. Guess what? 1 Super Bowl. Didn't get a touchdown in that Super Bowl, but the fridge did.
Dolphins had Bernie Pomeli, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. It happens. It happens.
Bernie Pomeli.
He's bagging groceries.
Oh, my God. You just pulled Bernie Pomeli out of there. Well, you know, Keith Bye is the biggest feet and ass in the entire history of the NFL.
As opposed to Adrian Dantley.
Adrian Dantley was a powerful ass.
The most powerful ass in the NBA history.
Most powerful ass in NBA history, yeah. Adrian Dantley. We're Chuck Klosterman fans here as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
And if you would follow us on Facebook, you'd see the picture of Dantley's ball with the 20,000th point.
Yeah, we're big Adrian Dantley guys. So at any rate.
But so the
wait, and where did you take a picture of Adrian Dantley's ball?
At the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I had to.
Yeah.
So
and of course the nightcap. We already talked about Seahawks put the SmackDown on the 49ers.
49ers, 3 points.
So there was not
dude.
A single competitive game on Thanksgiving, which was unfortunate.
Actually, the Cranston High School East Thunderbolts did have a competitive game.
Yeah, what was the final score of that? 28-21. And you won.
We did. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yes, the Mayor's Trophy is back home at East.
As it should be.
As it should be.
That's right.
Now, as we start to look at some of these other games during the course that we got coming up on Sunday, Sunday's actually a really important day in the NFL this week. Now, before we go into...
Week 13 is always kind of a big week.
This is kind of that turning point week. We have a couple of highlight games. Big one on Monday night, but we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. I want to ask you about the New Orleans-Pittsburgh game. Now, I need you to take yourself away from your hatred of all things Roethlisberger. Okay,
well,
I know.
He ate Roethlisbergers for his whole life, and he became a fan.
Oh, God. I hate it.
Awful. That's the worst commercial.
Worst commercial
worst
ever.
Worst family on the planet.
Now, how do you switch allegiances like that? Now we're a Cowboys, Dolphins, Eagles, yeah. Patriots.
So you're a Vikings fan with a Vikings skin on your phone. You meet Emmitt Smith once and take a picture with your Viking phone, and all of a sudden, you're a Cowboys fan.
I met Ron Jaworski once. Nicest guy ever.
So you didn't switch allegiances?
I hate the friggin' Eagles.
That's freaking right.
So there's a couple of big games this week, and one of them, though, that New Orleans Saints at Pittsburgh, it's got New Orleans on the road, desperately needing a win. You have Pittsburgh desperately trying to stay a part of the playoff picture in the AFC. That's honestly one of my highlight games this week. We obviously know what the big highlight game is this week, but that's one that I have on my docket for the week. What are you looking for?
So you're looking for the Steelers?
I think the Steelers-Saints.
And the Saints.
Is one of my absolute key games for
Saints,
this week.
Who dat? Who dat at 4-7?
And who can't win on the road, but absolutely desperately need to this week.
They're done.
Are they done?
Oh, wait, no, they're not done because they're in the worst
division
on the
in
planet.
Football. Thank you
no,
very
on
much.
On the planet. This transcends sports, sir. This transcends all divisions in every sport.
There have been worse brackets.
Swoops would be very upset. Her and Taurasi together in the Basketball Hall of Fame are crying together.
So you're saying that the NFC South couldn't even compete in the WNBA at this point?
I don't think the WNBA.
WWWB. Oh. And that's it for this week on Eric Dibb's Ice Cream Social. You just broke our show. You broke our show. Are you
it's
happy?
Okay. It's all right. All right. I am happy. I'm always happy. So you got the Steelers beating the Saints at home. That's a statement.
Yeah, I got the Steelers winning at home.
Of course, they are.
Does this put away the NFC South for good? Like, does this end the season for the NFC South? And this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm so
okay. The NFC South,
yep.
is as such.
All right,
you got Atlanta and New Orleans sitting atop of the NFC. I'm sorry, I'm going to say that again. You got Atlanta and New Orleans.
Let it go.
The NFC South at 4-7.
4-7, 3 games
Carolina
under 500.
Carolina still in the hunt at 3-7.
Still in the hunt.
And Tampa Bay, believe it or not, technically still in the hunt at 2-9.
At 2-9.
They can win out and be a 7-9 division winner in the South.
Correct. All right. But now, interestingly enough, the 9-2 Patriots could conceivably be out of the playoffs if they lost.
Not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. But again, you can have teams with 10 wins not making the playoffs.
Well, it's going to happen.
And a team with 5 wins.
Miami Dolphins will get to 10 wins. That is a fact.
Really?
Absolutely.
They're winning out?
Oh, they don't need to, sir. They can win. They can lose one game, sir.
Okay. And that's going to be the one where they come up to Foxborough?
No, I told you they're going to win that game.
Okay, all right. So yeah. Now going back to
I can't say that.
No, it's okay. I'm just it. It's all right, man. I'm letting you have it.
But that is going to be their one loss. All right, they're going to be 10-6 and going to miss the playoffs.
Okay,
that's the way it goes.
All right. So, well, where's the wild card coming from in the AFC then?
Well, you got the. It's not coming out of the East. That's my firm belief. It's not coming out of the East as much as I would like it to. Now you travel on down to travel up to the AFC North. You got Cincinnati and Baltimore. sitting at 7-3 and 7-4 respectively.
7-3-1 Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 7-3-1 And but then you got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. All at seven and four. Everybody is at 7-4 except Cincinnati, who's 7-3-1 which gives them the edge, apparently, in that division because
now,
of the tie.
Another massive game coming up this week. Okay. And this is going to tell us a lot. Sunday night's game. Denver goes to Kansas City.
Yep.
As you know, my feelings toward Denver now.
That's my upset of the week.
It's almost like not even an upset. I'm sitting here looking
it's
an upset. I think that we have we've seen the Broncos exposed a little bit over the course of the last couple of weeks. We are going to see Kansas City riled up, national game. The crowd's going to be devastating for the Broncos. Now, Kansas City wins this game. They're in first place alone in the AFC West at 8-4 And the 8-4 Broncos would not have the tiebreaker against them.
That's correct.
And so,
this is a huge game.
This is a massive game. See what I'm saying about this?
Which is
13.
Why it's even more fun to root for the or pick the Chiefs.
I want the Chiefs to win so bad.
I'm going with the Chiefs on that game.
Are you going with the Chiefs?
I am. So Ahmed from the aforementioned Puerto Rican Minute is taking the Broncos. Safe pick. Can't blame him.
When you say safe pick, you almost seem like you're safe pick. Anybody
safe,
can pick
safe
the
pick.
Anybody.
Well, we'll
pick.
Get to his upset of the week in a little bit. So, okay. You're staying safe with the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
What about you? Are you staying safe there, Teddy?
No, I'm going Kansas City.
Going Kansas City.
I am. I think
is that your upset of the week, or is that just straight?
No,
that's my upset.
I have not gotten to my upset of the week yet.
All right. Okay. So you got AFC West huge game. You got Denver and Kansas City squaring off for the division lead. Now, Oakland, obviously, exactly. There is no Oakland.
Oakland, St. Louis.
Okay. So at 1-10, they don't matter.
Okay.
But you got San Diego, a wily San Diego team sitting at 7-4.
San Diego. Superchargers.
Same record as Kansas City.
Correct. All 7-4.
Okay. So who's San Diego taking on?
San Diego has Baltimore, another massive game. Huge implications in the AFC.
Huge. Ravens, again, 7-4. You got the Chargers in their division.
7-4.
7-4.
Different division, but for the wild
Baltimore.
Card.
You got the best quarterback on the planet.
Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco and his brother Tony Flacco.
Joe Flacco's older brother. Tony Flacco's going to see in love, and you would have them.
So I have the Chargers going to Baltimore and beating the Ravens.
I don't think San Diego comes across the country and wins this game.
Really?
Yeah, I got Baltimore.
You have that much faith in the Ravens?
No, I have that little faith in the Chargers.
All right.
Yeah, and I want to. And I love the bolo tie.
You and the Puerto Rican Minute can keep on picking the same picks, and that's fine with me. It's no problem. You're both on the Ravens' teat, as it were.
Hey, we've been picking the Ravens since you were sapling your mother's teeth.
but I'm going with Chicago in a very...
Chicago.
I'm
you go with Chicago.
The Chargers. Chargers in a very, 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 very important game for them.
It is. It's a massive game.
And
it's going to spoil
the Ravens, which is going to make me equally happy.
I think if the Ravens had gone there, Chargers win, Chargers come here,
Nope.
All right.
It's not even going to be close.
Okay. Now, do you want my upset of the week?
Nope. Not yet.
You're going to get it.
Well, fine. Give it to me.
Hmm.
Are you picking the Buccaneers over the Browns? I mean, over the Bengals? All right, then give me your damn pick.
I'm picking Tampa Bay over Cincinnati.
Really?
Yep, Tampa Bay is hosting Cincinnati.
That's what I just said. Buccaneers over the Bengals.
No, Cincinnati and Tampa. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Yeah,
I am picking the
Buccaneers.
And you know what? That's not even really that far-fetched.
No, it really is an upset. It is an
upset. Of course,
upset.
Well, 2-9 team and a 7-3-1.
Yeah.
Sure, it is an upset. How the Bengals, with some of the losses they've had, be 7-3-1 is kind of amazing.
No, and that's
they've
why.
They've looked awful.
Yeah, and that's why I have Tampa Bay winning at home against Cincinnati.
Okay.
And by the way, Eric's cheap ticket of the week is a shocker this week. So,
I think it's the Giants at the Jaguars.
Oh, who are you picking in the Giants Jaguars game? Giants eliminated from the playoffs. Maybe they
are they?
Yes, they are. When Detroit won, it eliminated the Giants.
Well, that's a shame. I would like to have a moment of silence for our friend's team.
I'm gonna
anytime a loved one's team is eliminated from the playoffs.
I'm gonna have a moment of muffled laughter.
Okay. Okay, and there we go.
Screw you, Eli.
So yeah, I do have the Jaguars winning, but that's not my upset.
Really? How is that not an upset?
Because the Giants are 3-8.
Yeah.
So
okay.
How much of an upset can it really be? So I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
Okay.
How about you, Ted?
Giants.
All right. And we know who Ahmed's picking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And now you got the Bucks beating the Bengals. I got the Bucks beating the Bengals. Sorry, Pete. But I got the Bucks beating the Bengals.
Yeah. It just seems too much fun for
Ahmed's
me.
Ahmed's got the Bengals winning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 7-3 team. You know, I guess it's not that hard to pick them, but we'll be brave and go against the grain.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
What's the cheap ticket, buddy?
Do you want to take a guess at your cheap ticket?
I already took the guess. I know I'm wrong, but I already took the guess.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you the three cheapest tickets of the week in descending order. With $20 tickets, Arizona at Atlanta. Can you imagine at $20 a ticket? Falcons fans, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
So you're telling me the Jaguars is more than $20? Usually 14, hold steady.
I'm telling you now, the Giants and Jacksonville comes in at $59
this week.
$59.
The Giants are quite a draw, apparently.
They're traveling.
They travel well.
The Giants playing in Florida.
Go figure.
In the winter.
All those damn snowbirds.
There you go. Yeah. It's the snowbird game of the week. Now, the $20 ticket is the number one team in football, ostensibly.
Nine and two.
9-2 team.
3-2 on the road.
3-2 on the road, and they're traveling to Atlanta, and that ticket is $20. Wow, are they?
I think
Arizona's going to lose this week?
They got their two losses on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, obviously, that's where they're weakest.
Yeah.
The Falcons are, as much as they suck, are in a position to take control of their division.
Oh, my God. Just incredible.
And that in itself, I think Matty Ice steps up and delivers a hell of a game, and I got the Falcons.
Okay.
Got the Falcons beating the Cardinals. So I guess that's got to be my upset of the week.
I got to go with the Falcons on that one myself.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I like your pick, and I like your logic on that.
I'm going to go with the safe pick again. Picking the Cardinals.
Coming in at our
shocker
$13 game, and there's one cheaper than this.
Holy sh!
Coming in at $13, Carolina at Minnesota. Are you serious? We're talking about a team right now, all right? Minnesota.
Yep.
Who is on the come, and Carolina.
It's on the what?
They're on the come, man. They're trying to come back. They're putting it back together.
Wow.
They're Teddy Bridgewater. They got a tough defense.
But they're also at the bottom of their division. They're not going anywhere.
But this is a team that needs to be supported. They're hosting Carolina,
another
who's
awful
still
team.
In it. But they're still in it.
I know.
Carolina's in it.
That's sick.
How is this possible? That's a $13 game. And coming in.
That makes sense to me that that's a $13 game.
Wait, at Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, cheap ticket of the week is Oakland visiting St. Louis. How St. Louis? What are you doing?
Really? They can't.
Go support your team.
Maybe that's why they're dropping the ticket sales so people can go.
They're so far over their heads right now. How would people not like lining up? This is like you can. This game is cheaper than going to a Tampa Bay Devil Rays game. Yeah, I said Devil Rays in June. It's cheaper to go to this game than a Rays doubleheader in June. How are you not supporting your team?
Well, again, like I said, maybe they are.
Now coming in at the most expensive ticket of the week. Patriots-Packers.
Of course.
At $164 at Lambeau Field, and $164, that just gets you in the parking lot for a brunch.
Oh, exactly, yeah. And, well, in Gillette, yeah, $164 gets you a parking spot and a hot dog.
Yeah, so now.
But I have the Patriots beating Green Bay in Green Bay. I don't know what everybody's thinking. I really don't in picking Green Bay.
I've watched Green Bay this year.
But he's shaved.
Do you know?
He's shaved.
I know.
You know he's like 20 points lower.
When
he's clean shaven.
Well, now there's an interesting thing. There's a he's a 109 when he's scruffy, and a 101 or something when he's not.
Yeah,
Jay Cutler 89 when he's scruffy, 81 when he's not.
No, there's quite a few that are in that category.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, so I guess we were both listening to the radio on the way in here.
Wait, where? Was that on the radio? Yeah, oh my God, that's right. That's where I heard that.
Yeah.
So we have the Patriots visiting Green Bay, and I need everybody that's listening to make sure you pay attention to one thing very closely. The Green Bay Packers moved the most overrated. Oh, I'm sorry. The best player in the NFL that's not named Joe Flacco is Clay Matthews, of course. Clay Matthews was an outside linebacker, pass rusher, stand-up guy. And when I mean stand-up guy, I'm not talking about him in the community. I'm talking about literally a two-point stance on the outside. He was a stand-up outside linebacker. And the Patriots exposed him in his first time that he ever played against Bill Belichick, and he had a half a tackle in that game and no passes defended. Now, they moved him inside this year to make them a little bit more stout against the run. I can't wait for that young man to get his ass fed to him in the middle.
He won't be in the plays. He'll be on the sidelines.
Oh, you think that they're actually going to have to take him out of the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And almost half of the package that the Patriots are going to put out there, they're going to have to put in his backup because even they know he's better than Clay Matthews.
It's funny, too, because A.J. Hawk never gets the love there that Matthews does. And Matthews is just, he's hair and biceps. He's beach muscles, and he's so overrated, it's not even
he's
funny.
He's so overrated that we've already spent too much time talking about him as it is.
You're right.
So who do you got? Patriots traveling to Green Bay.
As a matter of fact, not only do I have the Patriots covering, not only do I have the Patriots winning outright, I have the Patriots winning by 9 or more.
Yeah, yeah, I say it's a two-score game.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And I think that it kind of just sets in motion.
No, like, but the Packers are a glamorous little pick right now. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, the sexy pick.
Yeah,
the sexy pick. Yeah.
They're going to beat the Patriots in Lambeau.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, come on, Tom Brady. Yeah. Let's go. You'll meet
Patriots
Clay Matthews.
Patriots are frauds. They can't hang against a real opponent, that type of deal. You know what I mean? Hey, God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Except for all the real opponents that they've already played this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. So we got, let's see. Oh, Ahmed picked the Packers. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is up with him this year?
I don't know, man. We're definitely going to have to tally up after week and see what's going on there. Because we're picking quite a few games differently.
Yeah, we really are.
But
so did we miss any games this week?
Yes, we have. We've missed quite a few.
Oh, have we? do we miss any games that matter other than Monday night's game, which I want to ask you about?
Well, we'll save that one for last.
Yeah.
Now you got the Browns again in a division where everybody's got the same
record.
7-4.
$28
traveling
ticket,
to the Bills.
Yeah.
I got the Browns.
I do too. Josh Gordon. I, by the way, I liked Mike Patton's line about the about Josh Gordon coming back to Cleveland. It was he said, "Wow, Brian Hoyer looks like a kid on Christmas playing with his new toy and ignores all of his other ones." He was just throwing the ball up and down the field to Josh Gordon, and all he did was rubbed a little bit of weed on the football, and Josh Gordon found it everywhere on the field. It was really a thing of beauty. Josh Gordon's running around the field going, "Wow, what is that, man?
What is all this?
Yo.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy."
So you got the Browns?
I have the Browns. I have the Browns,
this
like,
is a social.
Making a statement. Yeah. This is a social.
Ahmed's picking the Browns as well. So we all got the Browns traveling to Buffalo and knocking them off, which, I mean, again, it doesn't really matter to me at this point because, I don't think the wild card will come out of the East. But, their loss coupled with Miami taking care of business against the Jets.
Are we going to that game right now?
Again, changed their starting quarterback.
Okay.
Who's going to start? Is that the end of Rex Ryan?
Rex Ryan had a line.
He has flip-flopped on his quarterbacks 3 times in the last 5 weeks.
Rex Ryan had a line this week that I think is telling about his future, and he said, "We're almost out of tomorrows." Well, Rex
is out of tomorrow's.
But here's the thing. I think Rex Ryan's a good head coach. I just don't like the direction of this team.
Well, see, that's why I don't understand why he's going with Geno. He benched Geno. Went with Vic.
Okay.
And then when I thought he was going to put Vic in the following week, he didn't. He went back with Geno.
Okay.
Then he benched Geno again in favor for Vic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and from all indications, it seemed like that was for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did it again, benching Vic to put in Geno Smith.
Now, with that, you have to think along the way, all right, that Rex Ryan, with Sexy Rexy, is probably bowing to the pressure from the front office that drafted Geno Smith. that's more of what I'm seeing rather than Rex Ryan make a decision.
If that's what it is, if it's then he is done.
Yeah.
If he just put in Geno Smith because he was told to, it's over for him.
Okay.
And they're just giving him the courtesy of allowing him to finish off the season.
And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Because Rex is going to end up, he's going to end up a head coach somewhere else.
So do you have the Dolphins winning?
I have the Dolphins winning this thing going away.
Yeah, embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
And Ahmed is picking this as his upset of the week. So I guess I got to be a little flattered thinking that, you know, anytime someone picks a team against the Dolphins as an upset, I guess it's all right. That means the Dolphins must be doing something right.
Let's make sure we play like the fucking New York Jets.
I can't.
Let's go
some
get a
fucking
goddamn
slapdick team.
Hold on.
You guys know me that I'm about as positive a guy as there is. I believe our team's better than every fucking team in the league. I believe our players are better than any players in the league, right? Those are true statements. That's how I believe. But the team's only going so far if I'm the only guy that leads.
He's right on that.
He's dead on.
Now.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he
some stuffing, turkey and cranberry in between nice hot rolls.
Though the one thing I have to play, the one Rex Ryan clip that I need to play every time.
Defense expectations. Hey, guys, we don't have Revis in this building right now.
He's in.
Does it matter that Revis is not here? God damn, he's pretty fucking good. He's pretty good.
He's trying to do the, it doesn't matter who's here and who's not. I'm going to coach the guys that are here.
Pretty good.
Are Revis in the building?
He's well, pretty fucking
he's
good.
Pretty fucking good.
So... All right, so now we got one more game, I believe. No, two more games.
Yeah,
we got the Redskins traveling to the and that's
fuck gonna, that.
That's Ahmed's lock of the week is the Colts against the Redskins.
Yeah.
I can't even go against that. I'm picking that as my lock as well.
You know that's the lead pipe lock of the week.
So not only is it a social, it's a double social because we're all picking it as a lock.
Yeah,
boy, will it be embarrassing if the Redskins? No, that won't happen.
Fuck that.
Fuck that. Exactly. Fuck that. All right, and the last game, a really who gives a shit moment.
Last year, hey, we were under the radar. That's a good place to be.
Fuck that. We got the Titans traveling to the Texans.
Okay.
All right. Do you care? Do you care enough to make a pick?
Seriously, man? Like, I wouldn't care if...
I got the Texans at home. Ahmed's got the Texans at home.
We don't give a shit.
We really don't. Well, Rex is talking for me
so
now.
So we'll just make it social then.
Yeah, make it a social. I don't even care. I think that, look, why are the Titans even in existence at this point? Like, why are the Titans even around? You know?
We always need a team to take away when we want to put in another franchise. So that's why they exist. They exist.
Oh, so they exist so to go to L.A.?
Yes, exactly.
Like they
or Houston. Was it San Antonio that they want to put up?
Oh, San Antonio. There already is a team in Houston,
sorry.
And they're playing against the Titans this week.
But
what? Yeah, so that's the team that's going to play in London?
Yeah. Well, no, the Jags are clearly going to be the team that plays
what
in London.
Would they keep the Jaguars as their Jaguar? That's what they would be. The London Jaguars.
No, they're the one. They're the team that's going to be
going
to London.
You'll rule the day you crossed me, Trebek.
You'll rule the day, Trebek. No, just a quick question. Did we all have the Vikings holding ground against Carolina?
I got Carolina.
Because Carolina's in it.
Yeah, I got Carolina.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess I'm the only one going with the Vikings. Because Ahmed's got Carolina.
I don't know.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if you don't want to make the right pick, go ahead and make the wrong one.
We don't give a shit.
All right, that's enough. That's enough tomfoolery.
Fuck that!
So we're just going to do a quick recap, make sure we're all on the same page.
Yep.
We got the Dolphins going to the Jets on Monday Night Football. We got Eric and Ted seeing this as a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmed picking the Jets as the upset.
Fuck that!
Fuck that. We got the Broncos traveling to the Chiefs. Eric and Ted, again, going out on a limb a little bit, saying Chiefs are going to hold ground and
Chiefs.
Beat the Broncos and take the lead in the West.
Yep.
And Ahmed with the safety pick with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the Patriots traveling to the Packers. A lot of people got the Packers winning in holding court, including Ahmed.
Yep.
And Me I got, and Ted.
No. Yeah, and I got them winning by
Patriots embarrassing
more than nine.
Embarrassing them.
Yep.
We got Panthers traveling to Vikings. I'm on the limb by myself, going with the hometown Vikings.
That limb's under a lot of stress then.
Yes, it is. It's about to snap. And I'm in Ted.
Can we have fun? You're damn right.
I don't think they're having much fun in New York.
No.
And then we got Ahmed going with the world-beating Cardinals, while Eric and Ted are picking the Falcons only because they have a chance to win their division.
Yeah.
So we're thinking, is this the time that they actually step up?
Mm-hmm. Well, it remains to be seen, man. It remains to be seen.
And then we got all of our locks of the week, which is the Colts
yep.
hosting the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, the Redskins. And so we got them walking away. Mm-hmm. And then you got Titans traveling to Texans. We all got the Texans on that one. Chargers going to be going over the Ravens. A very, very important game for both teams. I'm the only one having the Chargers win.
Yep.
And then with the another social pick with the Browns traveling to the Bills, we all got the Browns going 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the Giants and the Jaguars, mm-hmm. or London, the Jaguars. Big Ben's. Big Ben, the
Doctor Who's.
The Doctor what? So, Ted and I'm picking the Giants. I'm picking the Jaguars. They both suck.
Yeah.
And we got Ahmed taking the Bengals, traveling to the Bucks. Eric and Ted, again, on that limb. It's very stressful out there.
Yeah, right.
Going to pick the Bucks to win that game. And then we all got the Rams hosting the Raiders in a walk-off. And we all got the Steelers beating the Saints in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we missed anything.
I don't think
Bottom
we did
line,
either.
This is going to be a very interesting Sunday of football. A lot of games mean quite a bit. There's not too many that don't mean anything.
Make sure that as you start your Sunday, this is the end of your morning. You've finished it with Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social, and now go and enjoy your Week 13 NFL Sunday. And remember to hit us up on Twitter at Eric and Ted ICS.
And our website, ericandted.com.
Make sure you hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Eric and Ted.
And take on a trip to iTunes and search for Eric and Ted's Ice Cream Social.
Any last words from you, Rec?
Everybody have a good Sunday. I know a lot of people are out and having their food hangover.
Mm-hmm.
But eat up them leftovers, make those Thanksgiving sandwiches, and sit back and relax and enjoy the festivities.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Get it right.